Ah, sorry.
Oh, yeah. Hate when that happens.
You must take the A train.
Yes, that's right.
All right, it's 9 o'clock.
I just came back from visiting the SAG, the brand new SAG-AFTRA offices. Woo! Swanky.
Oh, really?
Swanky.
Swanky.
And you have a view of the rock. I mean, it's literally across the street from the Lincoln Center, so you look out the windows and you're looking right into the courtyard.
Wow.
All right.
Oh, I can't cancel. I can't resume. Okay, fine. Well, I'll just do it on my mobile phone then. Fine.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to just play the... Well, let's see if we can get anybody else in here. I've invited everybody. I guess not. I invited, a bunch of other people.
JS is in the chat room.
Now I'm downloading it, and it downloaded in a half a second instead of 10 minutes.
Da, da, da. It's called technology.
And I'm the director of such.
You're the director of what?
Technology.
Oh, okay. All
right. I'm at Edge Studio right now. I'm in the conference room in the back, and I have a clear sonic panels behind me.
Nice.
Bed in here. I was going to go into one of the studios where they're really quiet and sound really nice, but every door is locked. I can't get into them. I was lucky enough to get a key card to get into the building. There we go.
Okay. No, well, you're in there somewhere. Okay. There you are. Oh, that's better. Sort of.
To the eye track.
Hello.
You sort of look like a disembodied head, but.
All right. The ghost of Christmas future.
Okay.
JS says are you reading JS's messages?
Yeah, Dan? Yeah, I sent him email. I sent him like 5 invites.
All right, I'm taking off the coat. The joke's over.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, because you're making me like cold in here. I want to go put on my sweater.
Today was a balmy 40 degrees. Tomorrow it's going to be 19.
Wow.
Yeah. We hit 75. I was at Sundance. It was a little chilly out there, but it was,
Yeah.
40s during the day, dropped down to like in the teens at night.
Okay, I'm just going to run the open. Let's see if anybody drops in here finally.
See my swanky new headphones?
Swanky. What'd you get?
Chris Currier gave them to me at NAMM.
Wow, what a guy.
At NAMM. Oh, how'd you like NAMM?
That was awesome.
I got a good one here.
It's like a kid in a candy store, man. It's crazy.
I bet. Where was it, in Vegas or New York?
No, it was in Anaheim.
In Anaheim. Yeah. Wow. Is that for professional sellers, resellers, and things like that?
Yeah, retailers.
Yeah, okay. It's not open to, like, consumers.
Yeah. Okay, everybody directly. Quiet here for a second.
Okay, yeah, not directly. I'll talk about it some more.
He's the home voiceover studio engineer to the stars in Los Angeles, California. A Virginia Tech grad whose knowledge of the latest recording gear is second to none. He's a voice actor and the home studio master, hailing from Buffalo, New York. His home studio skills and knowledge of voiceover recording is unmatched. When Dan and George talk shop, people listen, and the talk continues tonight. Welcome to East West Audio Body Shop. And now, live from his high-tech facility in Santa Monica and his penthouse studio in Buffalo, here are George Whittam and Dan.
That's pretty much the way it is today. All right, close enough. All right.
I'm putting on my hat, man.
Yeah, it's you're not used to this, are you?
Dear.
God.
Well, anyway, I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the East.
And that makes us East.
East.
East's Audio Body Shop tonight. So you're in New York tonight.
New York. Yes, I am.
New York.
I just
New York.
Had some New York pizza. And I went to a little reception for a short period of time with the Jim Luce Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
These folks here, this person that has this foundation,
yeah,
they're my hosts. I'm staying in an Airbnb.
Ah.
And he's like, yeah, we're having a reception tonight. It's on the 37th floor of 4 Times Square in a law firm. Oh, man, it was really nice.
Bright.
Wow.
It was amazing up there. Way, I mean, you're way above Times Square looking down, you know, and I took pictures all the way around. It was beautiful. It was really nice. And then I skedaddled out of there and went over to the SAG after offices to visit the under construction SAG Foundation studio that they're building here in New York. The New York counterpart of the Donald Fontaine Lab.
Right.
Nice.
Called the Donald Fontaine Lab. It's going to be called something else. And I can't remember the name, but because it's another foundation. So it's like the SAG, it's like the Entertainers Something Something Foundation Lab at the SAG Foundation. That's the name of the freaking lab. It's a mouthful. But yeah, it's much under construction. It's at the studs, which is actually the coolest place time to see it as far as I'm concerned, because it's
right.
All the bare metal studs, and I was able to look around and see how they built it, and yeah, so cool. That was fun.
Great.
And I made it back. Here I am.
All right. Well, we're both in the East, and boy, is it cold in the East. You folks out West, you're enjoying it a whole lot, because we are really freezing. It currently in Buffalo,
in
4 degrees or something like that. What is it in New York?
Right now it's about 30, maybe 25.
Oh, ooh. That's not going to last.
No, it's supposed to go down to 15 tonight.
Yeah, oh, it's going to go down to like 3 below here with about a minus 30 wind chill.
Woo-hoo.
Oh, yeah.
Well, see, Anthony's not here to
no, Anthony had he had some domestic issue this evening, but maybe he'll join us a little later. But we do have with us, joining us tonight from way out west, representing the west for once, we have joining us from from Pleasanton, California, Ann Richardson.
Yay!
Hello!
Welcome to East West Audio Body Shop.
Thank you.
And how are you this evening, aside from warmer than us?
Enjoying this balmy weather, except it's incredibly dry.
Can you tilt your screen down so we can see more than your eyes? Or your camera? There we go, perfect.
Is that better?
Yes.
It looks fine to me.
I can see all of me, but I guess
you're on lovely lipstick. We don't want to miss your lovely lips.
Yeah.
There we go.
Oh.
How's that?
I'm going to wipe that off the
camera. Fantastic.
All right. Perfect. So, Ann, what do you do there in Pleasanton in the voiceover world?
My niche is audiobooks. I've got about 40 of them out, and I'd like to get a lot more out. That's my goal.
Okay. How many have you done so far this year? Well, it's only the 30th or the 28th of January.
I've done one so far this year.
Oh, okay. Well, you're one up on me then.
It was short.
Ah, okay.
Okay.
All right. Joining us also from somewhere in California. Where are you from there, Jane?
I'm from Arcadia, California.
Which is?
Currently.
L.A.
Which
area?
Is just, yeah, it's in East. Yeah, I'm just east of Pasadena. It's the next town over.
Ah.
Pasadena, California, which is known as the bedroom community just north of downtown L.A.
You're in the suburbs of the suburbs.
Right.
You're like right there, almost in the mountains. Then,
yeah, right at the foothills. Yeah,
beautiful.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place.
Yeah,
George and I had some fun there this summer. We were interviewing Wes Dooley from AEA Microphones in Pasadena.
Yeah, Pasadena.
I had never really spent any time in Pasadena. It was usually like this traffic jam that I would go through between let's see here. Oh, God. Oh, stop that.
And so it begins.
That was interesting.
Yeah, no, it's somebody taking pictures. Anyway, so what kind of stuff are you doing, Gene?
Currently, right now, I'm finishing up an audiobook I've been working on for a few months now. Yeah. I'll take some tips from Anne, because she's already finished one in January. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It was short.
Good start.
Mine's 11 hours.
11 hours?
No, 14 hours, I'm sorry. 14 hours. 14.
Give or take a few hours.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
So how's your studio made up there? I see lots of foam and stuff, and can you move your camera around a little bit? Or?
It's, yeah, I can do that for you. So you get
Oh, foam.
Yeah, a lot of foam, a lot of foam. Yeah. Got my little intake, outtake, whatever you call it thingy. The air vents kind of stuff, one at the top, one at the bottom. Ventilation system, thank you. Thank you, that was a technical term. The ventilation system. Yes. And I have some things that I put in the corners. I'm trying to, like, you know, build a bassiness in here. So I probably actually need to get some bass traps. I don't know.
That sounds okay.
Are we hearing you through your studio mic right now?
No, you're hearing me through this thing.
Oh, okay. Well, even through that thing, it sounds pretty good in there.
Yeah.
For some reason, I don't know. I was gone for like 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the Sundance Film Festival. I come back and, you know, there was buttons pushed on my mixer. And, you know, my wife was trying to call China. So for some reason, my mic in here is not working.
Hmm. Oh, that's fun.
Oh, well, it's working, but it's not working on this check.
So, thanks, wife.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not really sure what's going on. This is how I do it. See, so I can see you guys.
Oh, okay. There we are. Look at that.
See, it's the monitor and the computer is outside the booth.
Right.
And that's how that works. Anyway, yeah. And so my wife, it's been really nice because this booth is in our living room.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow. Okay.
There's more to the story.
Yes.
Yeah. We live in a nice little small one-bedroom apartment, and I thought I was going to be able to convert a closet into like a little booth, but there was so much noise around. It was just ridiculous. I thought I moved to a better spot. I actually moved to a worse place. So I had to build a booth.
You had to get creative.
I had to break the bank.
Ooh, okay, I got you.
Yeah.
More than creative.
Yes.
Yeah.
You had to spend some dough.
I had to spend some money because there was, you know, I would have went with like what you have, the studio suit. I would have loved to have been able to get away with just doing that, but I needed to create, kill sound.
Yeah.
From the outside. And these walls, I can hear my neighbors downstairs when I'm in my bathroom. I can hear them in their bathroom. And sometimes I want to just go downstairs and knock and say, hey, man, just tell your wife you'll do it. That's how bad the insulation is between apartments. You know, when they're playing their video games downstairs, I can't even record in this booth. It gets so loud.
It's like the first thing that they cut corners on is they just this was isolate.
This is an older building. It's like, I don't know, I think it was built in the 50s.
Hmm.
And it's a quad. It's not a duplex. What is it called? A quad, I guess. There's four apartments in this building.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a nice area, a quiet neighborhood for the most part, but when the leaf blowers and all that, oh, God.
I'm staying on 44th and 6th in Manhattan. Mm-hmm. So I'm like a walk. I'm a stone's throw from Times Square where I'm staying.
Mm-hmm.
And other than the hiss of the radiators, these apartments are totally quiet. You would never know you're in Midtown Manhattan. It's incredible how quiet these places are. So It just goes to show you, it's less about where you live and more about how the place is built, I think.
Exactly.
Just open a window.
Yeah.
I mean, that'll change things in a hurry. Yeah. All right. All right, joining us also. Can you hear us there, Scott?
Yes, looking loud and clear.
Oh, there you are. All right.
Playing one of the cameras, but he...
Yes.
Sorry, I had my mic on mute there.
Oh, there we go. Okay. Scott Chambers, welcome.
Good evening, gentlemen.
How are you doing tonight?
I am doing fantastic today.
That's good to hear. That's what we want to hear, as a matter of fact. Where are you hailing from? Obviously, somewhere in the east, since you're dressed for the weather.
Well, I am actually in Gadsden, Alabama, which is about 60 miles north of Birmingham. And it's actually 21 degrees right now, snow in the forecast for me tonight. So.
Let me go put my sweater on.
Yes, but me, in my Hawaiian shirt. It may be 5 degrees out there, but that's not going to stop me. So what kind of stuff are you doing there, voiceover-wise, down in Alabama?
Radio host, talk show host for about 15 years, and then in the past year, I decided
to... take your word for it, because I can't hear Scott.
I can hear him.
I can hear him.
I can't hear him.
Oh, well, George can't hear me. Anyway, been in radio for about 15 years, decided to give it up about a year ago after a syndicated show went downhill, and I've been doing voiceover full-time for about the past year now and really enjoy it. So I do a lot of radio imaging. Audiobooks is something that really fascinates me now. That's something that I'm new to. And so just making a living here at home. There's nothing like it.
Yeah. That's what Anne does.
Yeah, very fascinating.
Yeah, no, the audiobook business is kind of interesting. It's like this entire wing of our business that some people love and some people hate. You know, it's easy to break in, but then it's very hard to break out.
Not your most lucrative choice.
No, it can be.
Can be.
Yes. Okay, so what do we want to talk about tonight? Anybody got any topics? Anybody got any questions? I know we had a question tonight, George.
Now I can... Let me see if I can hear you now, Scott.
Hello, George.
Yay!
There we go.
I left and came back. When in doubt, reboot.
Yep.
Right.
I got nothing. I got nothing. Blank slate.
Okay, well, somebody asked us a question tonight, and I know for a fact that was a question because it was in our email. Let me go and check and see what that question was. Yes, Richard Gild, who was invited tonight, it just hopefully he hasn't shown up yet. He asks, and this is a fabulous question. Hi, George and Dan, that's you and me. Thanks for all the great info on EWABs. And, okay, what happened to my email?
Oh, there it is.
Okay.
I was wondering if clients ever request.
High resolution, 96 kilohertz, 24-bit file. How about 96 kilohertz, 34 or 36 or whatever? Also, what is the standard for resolution and bit rate? Is it 44.1 kilohertz, 24-bit?
All right, good question.
That's a good question. And the answer is yes, sort of.
It depends.
It depends.
I've never heard of a client ask for 9624 of a voiceover track yet. Have any of you guys?
Once.
Yeah?
And my question was, why? are you sending this, you know, is this like being sent to Voyager or something? That you know, you don't want to have the highest resolution to send to the end of the solar system or something? And he's like, no, that's what they told me I needed. Oh, well, I read it somewhere. Like, no.
The only thing that's produced at that bit rate are, you know, 5.1 surround mixes that are going to go onto a Blu-ray or something. And so somebody way down the food chain or way up the food chain or whatever in the post house, you know, it trickled down that we're doing this in 9648 or whatever or 9624, what the hell. And, you know, now we need all our files to be at that bit rate. You know,
right.
But even in that case, it's rare that they care that the sound is recorded that bit rate all the way down the food chain. But I suppose it's going to be more and more commonplace as everything gets, not you know, everything's HD video, so everything will eventually go HD audio. So someday it'll be commonplace.
Yeah, and, but in order to have that, in order to use that, you're going to need like a 23 kiloquad hard drive to take all the data.
What?
A large hard drive.
So basically, when you go from 48 to 96, you double the sample rate, so you double the file size.
Right.
And when you go from 16-bit to 24-bit, it's 50% larger. So do the math. The files are, you know, almost double the size right out of the gate, wow. You know, file size. So, you know, there's even been – I posted something a while ago from an audiophile blog or some audio engineer's blog where they did a blind test comparing – 24-bit 96 kilohertz audio played through a super high-end audiophile grade system to a CD being played on a 20-year-old Sony CD player hooked up with crappy 20-foot-long RCA cables to a cheesy receiver, and they had everything underneath a blanket or a big, you know, cloth, so you couldn't see what was what. And then they'd have two assistants switch the speaker leads, you know, on the same speakers back and forth. And they had a room full of these really, you know, really golden ear guys that are like super audio geeks. And they said, which is this? Which is this? Now you're hearing which? And they would have to vote, you know, blind A-B test. They pretty much had a 50-50 chance of getting it right. In other words, they couldn't freaking tell the difference. And these are guys that really should know the difference. So when you hear people talking about 2496, oh, it's more bits, so it's better, and you can hear an ant farting. You know, it doesn't matter. And in a home studio especially, you would have to have the most pristine studio on the planet to take advantage of those higher bit rates. So you don't need to do it. Unless a client asks for it, don't ask why. Just give them what they want.
Right.
That's they're paying you for. Doesn't have to make sense. Just do it. And you can always, if you forget to record at this right sample rate, you can always what we call upsample it. So you can just, when you go and save the file, you can say, you can do a file convert. And just convert it to 2496. They'll never know the difference.
Oh.
Hmm.
You can cheat, in other words.
Yeah. So you were at NAMM this week, George. That's still going on?
Yeah, NAMM was over on Sunday. The day I flew out here, it was the last day.
Yeah, so we got lots of video for starting next week on that.
Yeah, it's all most of what I did was on YouTube. It's on YouTube on the Edge Studio channel. And it's all posted. A lot of it's posted already. So I'll feature maybe one or two clips that I thought were really, really exceptionally cool on maybe on the next episode of the show. So you guys can see a couple highlights.
Excellent.
Yeah, it was a biggest show ever. I think they were expecting 130,000 people.
Mm.
And wow. The second day was Friday that I went, and I had to lie my way into the parking lot. Waited for that long line, got into the parking lot. As you're rolling up to the gate, you see the LED signs are over all the gates saying, "Welcome to Disneyland," and all this stuff. And then the sign switches and goes, "Lot full. No NAMM show no NAMM show parking." I was like, "Oh, okay." So when I got up to the gate, I said to the guy, "I'm here for a birthday party at Downtown Disney." He's like, "Okay, $16, sir." I lied my way in. And then I got down to the hall, and I'd already been there on Thursday, okay? So now it's Friday. I go walking in with my video rig, and if you guys ever seen a picture of my video rig, it's kind of convoluted, funny looking. I have a shoulder brace with a little, you know, all this stuff on it. And I get to the gate and the walk in where they give you show your badge and everything. And lady's like, "Are you with the media?" And I felt like saying, "Is this a trick question?" So I answered yes, and I didn't have a media badge. So she turned me away. She's like, "You can't come in. You need a media badge to walk in here with that equipment." So I walked away, took a breath because I was starting to get pissed off. Took a breath, sat down, put my equipment in the bag that I was already carrying, threw it on my shoulder, and walked right in. So
cool.
I had to BS my way in, even though I had a badge to get into the show. It gets so incredibly crowded, and they're trying to keep out anybody that don't belong there. The show's really popular to come into because there's a lot of famous musicians. Some of which you probably wouldn't know because they're musicians that play in studio sessions.
Right.
But there's also a ton of famous rock bands, and almost every year I see Stevie Wonder walking around with his entourage, walking the halls, and you know, it's just where all the musicians love to go. It's just they want to see the latest, coolest stuff. They all get to play with the equipment. There's musicians playing in all the different booths, demonstrating stuff. So every 50 feet, there's somebody else playing. You know, so if you love music, it's the best show you can get into. It's worth trying to get in. It's fun.
Oh, absolutely. I remember sneaking into SeaWorld once.
What?
No, we were in Orlando, and you know, we were in Orlando, and we were going to SeaWorld. And there was a gate open. We walked in the gate. We were walking with some group or something. And then suddenly we're like staring at Shamu. It's
you know
like...
they say just pretend you look... Pretend you belong.
Act as if.
Act as if you belong there.
That's
you
right. How far absolutely. You can get. Have you ever snuck in anywhere, Ann?
I plead the fifth.
Oh.
Nobody's watching this. We're the only one watching.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm pretty rule-bound, actually. Football games, sneaking in under the bleachers so you don't have to pay, what, $4? High school.
Yeah, of course.
But no, I'm kind of rule-bound, and I would probably pay the admission fee even if they didn't have one.
Got you.
No, Karen.
Yeah.
Hi, Ann. Hi, everyone.
Welcome.
Yes.
Thank
Karen,
you.
How's the studio suit?
It's terrific. Let me tell you, my noise floor.
Wait, let me record this.
my noise floor is now 78.
Holy crap.
Where do you live, the Arctic?
No, I live in Pasadena.
That is the Arctic.
You live in Pasadena.
I do.
That's amazing.
I live in Arcadia.
I heard. I've been watching. Oh. Uh-oh.
What?
Hello?
She's stalking us.
I just got an error message. Sorry.
No, we hear you. Don't forget. Pay no attention to the errors in here.
78. That's pretty
Dan's,
good.
Oh, there's... Okay,
78? I couldn't believe it. I actually just moved my booth from one room to another, and I added studio suit on top of all the other sound dampening I did, and I got a really phenomenal noise floor.
Is that peak or RMS?
I don't know. I think it's peak.
Which recording software?
You're asking me questions that I don't know the answer to.
Which recording software are you using?
I'm using Twisted Wave.
Are you reading the number at the bottom or the number at the top of the meter?
I'm reading the number at the bottom of the meter.
That's the RMS value.
The RMS value. Okay. Yeah. Good.
So the peak level is really what you care about. So
and where's that?
At the top.
Yeah.
At the top.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I will check that and report back.
Okay.
I'm sure it's good. I think we need the terminology is getting all messed up with studio suit. If we're going to do sound dampening, that means taking a quart of water in there and pouring some water over yourself. It's sound
dampening.
Damping.
Yeah.
Sorry.
We don't want
to. I said it wrong for the longest time. I only read in the last 6 months about that. You know that the word is damping, not dampening.
It's damping.
Well, I didn't know that.
See the things you learn on this show.
Thank God you watched the show tonight, because otherwise
you would have gone through life.
I was
not
lost,
knowing what
and
that
now
is.
I'm found.
Hallelujah.
So all this time, all we had to do was pour some water in our booth?
That's right. Just talk into a glass of water. It works miracles.
Yeah.
Yes. By the way, speaking of studio suit, I have 62 panels now sitting in my basement.
Holy smokes.
Yes, along with a very sore shoulder. No, I have it manufactured, but I had to go get... And of course, on one of the snowiest days of the year, I rent a U-Haul truck, and I'm not really good at driving a truck. But I had to drive it all the way downtown in the middle of a whiteout, and I'm like getting off the exit with this thing, and I'm like, "Holy crap!" You know, but they loaded it for me. Now my son Lewis, who owed me a favor, said, "I'll unload it for you." You know, so we're starting to unload the truck after I, of course, backed into the garage.
Get the insurance waiver, I'm sure.
Oh, of course, absolutely. No, I bought the insurance on that.
Yeah.
That's somebody else's truck. I figured I'm going to, you know, hit something. So what do I hit? I hit the gutter on my garage. So when it starts raining, it'll just be this little downspout. Anyway, so...
Put a rain barrel under it.
There you go. You know, I'll hit the rain barrel. It's like right behind where my car's parked. Anyway, so Lewis is about to help me move this stuff, and I'm carrying this stuff, and I'm not supposed to be carrying it. And I had just had an acupuncture treatment. I was feeling pretty good. And then it's like pulling my arm down, and I'm like carrying three at a time. And, of course, he decides to take a phone call for 20 minutes.
Oh, no.
No!
So I unloaded half, and then I said... You go unload the other half. So there's now like 70 rolls of this stuff, 70 panels of studio suit. So if anybody wants some, I got it.
Wow.
Man.
It's none of this, okay, I can make some for you. Now it's like, I got it. I can just ship it out to you.
Nice.
So
okay. He wants three.
Yeah, so do another commercial for me, Karen. It works, right?
It works great.
Okay.
I am... beyond thrilled and pleased with it.
JS wants a studio sport jacket.
Does he really?
we'll just paint a little tie in there and say
that's right.
Love JS. He's always got a good quip there.
Yes. Okay, who else have we? I've invited a bunch of people here. Let's see. Well, Scott, you ever try to sneak in anywhere?
Actually, years ago, I snuck into a NASCAR race.
Ooh.
I'm in Alabama. Give me a break. Come on.
Well,
they
no one could
hear
you
coming in.
Yeah, they couldn't hear you sneaking in. That's
right.
Right.
You don't have to be particularly quiet when you do that.
No.
Yeah.
Pretty loud at a NASCAR race.
Yeah, really. Yes. Who won?
I think Jeff Gordon won that year, which was,
As you can see, we're all enthralled with the results of the race.
NASCAR, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, wait, no, I'm a fan, but my driver is Little E.
Little E?
Right.
Little E.
What, is he also a rap star, or what?
Dale
Earnhardt Jr.
Oh, okay.
Very nice guy.
That's an abbreviation for those in the know.
Yes, right. now we're all in the know.
That's where I get to narrate those books written from North Carolina, because I've been watching NASCAR for so long.
Ah, yes.
Right on.
Yeah. Here's an interesting question from the chat room here. Diana Birdsall is asking, this ought to make it for an interesting conversation. Speaking of...
For a change.
Today an audition came through asking for all of the 820 words of a script to be read for the audition. Would anyone take that audition?
No.
What are the chances that they will use the audition and not pay anyone? The pay is $250. I'm passing.
Yeah. They went all in.
Leave it alone.
Don't touch it. No. 800. No.
That's
ridiculous. If they actually specifically outline that as one of the criteria, that would mean that sounds very good chance that that's a bad deal.
Yeah.
Because if they were legit, they would not need to hear all 850 words. No. They'd hear the first 20, and they'd know whether they want you yet or not.
Right, really. Yeah.
Exactly.
First 5 seconds usually will determine that.
That's bogus.
Yeah. Or, Diana, I don't know if it was it an ACX audition? It might have been the author's very first book, and they were doing the casting.
Hmm.
Well, that's a possibility.
Sounds like it came from Craigslist.
Very well could have.
All right. Anybody have any questions for George and I while you got us here?
Jerry Reed had one. He said he's been doing a lot of screenplay readings for a film production company, and he doesn't know how to price them because it's a new niche. So he prices them like audiobook work. Any thoughts on this?
Hmm. Gee, I wonder.
Go ahead.
Well, they might and might. Anyone have any thoughts on how they've been doing a lot of screenplay? Oh, yeah, that must be something new. I mean, I haven't done any of that. Has anybody done any of this kind of stuff?
I don't understand the genre.
Is it like a scratch track? I mean, are you auditioning or just reading it for them to hear it out loud?
Yeah, you lost
me there. Give him 30 seconds, because there's about a 30-second delay on all this.
Yeah.
Okay, because I was going to say, if it's for a corporation, then I would say that the pay scale is greater than you would get if you were doing audiobooks, which are for directly for the consumer. So, you know, corporations tend to have more money behind them than consumers do. So.
Say, what's their budget?
Yeah, what's your budget? That's a good question. Yeah.
I've heard that's a legitimate question to ask.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's your budget? I mean, because, you know, I've heard it a lot. I can't remember his name. Is the guy from Netherlands?
Paul Stwakorda.
Yeah, he does a lot of posts, and he talks about that a lot. You know, people want talking about posting. You don't ever want to post your rates on a website.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's like you're shooting yourself in the foot when you do that. My first question is, people ask me how much I charge. Well, let's talk about your budget. Do you have one? No.
Right.
Okay. All right. You can't afford me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's I always try to do that too. And generally, they're never going to tell you what the budget is, or they're going to lie to you.
Right.
It's like,
you know, I mean, every situation is different. I mean, I've had friends come to me and say, can you do this for me? Sure, I'm going to do it. You know, I understand. They're not going to. Yeah, it's a different kind of a thing.
Yeah.
But someone coming to you that's supposed to be a legitimate business venture saying, what's your rates? Are you cheaper than this guy?
Right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, clients are... clients are an interesting thing. I mean, they're people, especially in these auditions. You never know what you're going to get. Yeah. And most of the time, I would tend to trust people because I've only gotten burned once or twice over 10 years. Because
that's a good ratio.
Yeah, I mean, I trust people. I can generally tell from the wording of the letter if, like, their English isn't very good. You know, because it's amazing how well, after a while, you can actually tell the ethnicity of somebody by their writing accent.
Mm.
You know, because some people, they speak, there's different, my son's a linguist, and maybe someday he'll explain this to me. Well, he's studying to be a linguist, therefore he's going to have to learn how to do this. That eventually, you know, you can look at stuff and you can tell if somebody's from the Philippines or they're from Russia just by the way they write English. And after you get enough stuff like this, and you know who to trust, and generally I won't say who it is I don't trust. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's an interesting one. Let me see how some people might respond to this, because I've been getting a lot of friend requests lately from the Middle East, and there's a couple of guys who are. And hopefully, maybe they'll actually watch this, and I'll go, boy, this guy's. You don't want to talk to him. They're reporters for Al Jazeera, but they love our show.
Mm.
I'm always wondering when somebody from the Arab world is contacting me, they either don't know who I am, or they just think that, you know, I'm just this guy here in America who just does voiceover stuff. Interesting, but they are legitimate reporters for Al Jazeera, so. You know, and I've been quoted on Al Jazeera before.
Wow.
Which is actually quite interesting. I was the somebody's calling.
JS is calling me right now.
Oh. Well, he finally figured it out.
He's calling me, not us, me.
On George's phone.
No,
Hangout.
No. I think he started his own Hangout. There he is. Okay, just hang him up.
Just hang him up. Just hold
him up. Put
him
to the camera. Hi, JS.
Hi, JS.
They are legitimate reporters for Al Jazeera, so.
That's right.
Bye, JS. You're on the wrong Hangout.
He's 40 seconds behind here.
That's a late delay, man.
Yeah. Wow. Anyway. There was an anti-Semitic incident at the Hillel I was president of at the University of Buffalo, and a reporter came and said, what's going on here and why is it? I said, look, whoever did this couldn't possibly be a University of Buffalo student. No one that stupid can go here. So I'm just doing my job as the president of Hill, and then I have to come out to L.A. for Voice 2012, I think it was, and I get an email saying you've been quoted in the New York Times. Oh, great. A few months later, I hear from somebody I know and said, oh, by the way, you were in the Jerusalem Post, and you were quoted on Al Jazeera.
Wow.
No kidding.
Yeah. So, interesting that, you say the right thing, and everybody says, oh, one of my more great witticisms of the time, which is why I had the job and why I ran over there to talk to the press before anybody else had a chance to do it.
Yeah, nice.
Anyway, I thought I'd bring that up. It was just an interesting thing in my week. But
anybody get that email from Blue saying, do you want to be in the Blue Insider?
Yeah! What's that all about?
Well, no, what is that all about?
I just signed up. I think it's a great way to generate buzz is what it is, because we're talking about it now.
What is it?
Are you a fan and user of Blue Mics who lives in Southern California or know someone who is? If so, we'd like you to be part of an exclusive group of Blue users who meet us a few times a year to talk shop. Mm. So anyway, I lied and said I have a Blue Mic and signed up.
Where are they meeting? L.A.?
Well, it says you have to be in Southern California, so I suppose the first group will be in Southern California, more than likely at their headquarters, which are in Westlake Village, California. So.
No, I didn't get that message.
I didn't either.
I don't get this stuff. Somebody forwarded it to me. They must have a
new PR guy, because there was a thread going on one of the LinkedIn groups, and it was talking. It was that this question we never hear: what's the best microphone to use for voiceover?
Oh yeah, that's always a good question.
Oh yeah, it's
because there's just one.
Yeah, there's only one. By the way. It's this one, by the way. Speaking of our sponsors,
if you're watching this show,
yes, you're watching this show. This is the best one. Anyway, but suddenly there was a large thing from Blue Microphones saying, "Well, the best microphones are Blue Microphones," and it went through all the details of why Blue Microphones are so good.
People are calling me out in the chat room saying that I'm running quite a streak of fibs.
How
so? George, you're running quite a streak of fibs there, buddy. I haven't seen the word fib in so long, I actually didn't know what it meant for a minute. Streak of fibs.
You had to think about it for a while, huh?
Streak of fibs. What is fibs, right. Oh, lying, yeah. Right.
Fine, you've got a young child, you know what a fib is.
Yeah, it catches all that food they drop.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
She's just learning about fibbing. Just learning about it now.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
What is the, George, what is the best advice you can give to a voiceover person with a very small child?
That's good.
Do you have in-laws?
You mean a small child that wants to get into voiceover, or just a small child that's really annoying and they have a hard time working?
The latter.
Daycare.
Oh.
Nannies.
Benadryl. Yeah, well.
Grandparent.
Melatonin.
Drank dart.
Because I don't know how you get anything done.
I have a grandparent
and a small child, and... She was the senior manager of a division at Sundance, and I happened to go, and my daughter took care of her kid, and my daughter worked harder than everybody else that whole week, because that kid was like 100%, you had to be engaged with the kid, so.
That's how my daughter is.
If you have a small child, I don't know how you do anything. In voiceover,
I work at night. I do Widom's World at night. I'm doing my Widom. If I ever look really groggy and I'm not very, my energy level's kind of low when I'm doing these Widom's Worlds, because usually I'm cutting them between noon or midnight and 2 in the morning.
Yeah, I can see that.
That's why you're whispering.
And even I'm wondering about that, actually.
I mean,
you'll do a photo bomb session. She'll come right on in your session.
Well, she comes in on the show an awful lot, too.
So. Yeah, we've seen her on the show.
You'll come in, hey, Dad, fix this.
She bangs on the door to my office, right. Which is really not the door to my office, it's the door to the laundry room, but that's another story. But it sounds like, I mean, you can't tell it's a 40-pound kid. It sounds like a 300-pound linebacker about to knock down the door when she starts banging on the door.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I've got two yippy dogs. So
how do you deal with it?
How do I deal with it? How do I usually deal with it? I go, shut up!
Can't you see I'm working here?
Yes. And the stupid thing is it never works. They just keep yapping, you know. They're barking at snowflakes and leaves, and you know, a garbage truck goes by. They've got to let them know that, you know. Or used to have a Gordon setter across the street. Anytime that dog would just come out of his garage, it would be a half hour bark fest.
Oh God.
Yeah. So
my dog snores. He doesn't bark. I have to wake him up or wake her up. It's horrible. I have many saved passages of my dog snoring through my recording, through the booth. I swear to God, just ruins the mood.
Is she a Shar Pei or something?
No, she's a French Mastiff.
French Mastiff. Oh, wow. Big dog. All right, where is the dog? How big has this dog gotten so far?
She's 8 months old, and she's only 80 pounds now. But she will top out probably at 120.
All right. Wow. That causes an awful lot of slobber, doesn't it?
That movie Turner and Hooch? That's what kind of dog she is, and that's what kind of slobber she generates.
Oh, my God.
But she's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's a great indoor dog.
Yeah, really.
Hope you like your furniture.
I walk around with a rag in my hand all the time. Oh, Dan.
I got a cat yowling outside the booth when it's lunchtime.
Oh, my goodness.
It's very loud. I can actually hear it bleeding through the door.
No, if our cat gets locked out of the back of my house where my studio is, then I have to let her in during the show because you can hear her meowing the whole time. She can't stay out there during the show.
Okay, I think this is probably a candidate for the clips for favorite segment of the year with George and his little puppy dog face.
We were both doing it for a while there.
Yeah.
Dan's got the monocle.
Wow. It seems suitable for Dan.
Yes. Oh, geez. Doug Turkel. Huskies and Basenjis scream. They howl.
Ooh.
Mm, all right.
They scream?
They do. They're almost worse than a barking dog.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, so why would anyone want one of these animals when they're such a pain in the butt?
Because they love them.
I don't quite get that.
They love them. I always tell people if that's the only time to record, record at night. Adopt a sleeping habit. You know, back in the, I think I've talked about this in the show before, but back in the old days, way before electricity and all that, people used to sleep. And they'd go to sleep at like 8 o'clock, you know, after dinner. And then they'd get up at 1 or 2 in the morning. They'd stay up until 3 or 4. And they slept in two shifts. So they were off in the middle of the night, or awake in the middle of the night. Where they'd walk around and visit their neighbors, read a book, do other things with their loved ones.
We won't say what.
At night, you know, and... you know, sometimes when I put my daughter to sleep, I fall asleep when I'm trying to put her to sleep. I lay down in bed next to her. I fall asleep around the same time she does. So I will sleep until like midnight, and then I wake up all groggy, kind of get myself together, and then I work till from like midnight till 3 in the morning. I'm fresh. I have like a second wind. Then I go back to bed, sleep for another 4 or 5 hours, and then, you know, by morning I've had a cumulative 8 hours worth of sleep. And I've worked, you know, I've had a pretty productive evening. So, not that that works for everybody, but it's worked pretty well for me.
Hmm. Okay.
Nice backdrop.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
I mean, think about how much you could get done in 3 hours of total silence, if that's the case in your house.
Hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
Wow.
Everybody's just goofing around with Google.
And this is...
Nobody's even listening.
Okay, whatever.
So we should ask the chat room some questions.
Yes.
Good idea.
Yeah, man. Please save
Except
us.
They're how far behind us? 30 minutes?
30 seconds.
It's going to be a long show, and we're going to miss our stand-up
time
group.
To wait.
Do you have a stand-up group after this?
We do. Every Monday night at 8, Ann and I meet at our stand-up group.
Oh, on the West Coast, of course, yes.
On the West Coast.
Uh-huh.
And we chat for another, hour and a half?
Yeah, Yeah, whatever it is with these stand-up groups, we've got one on Monday morning that just doesn't end. It's like, so we've decided Monday is not going to be a productive day. We're just going to chat all morning.
How long do your stand-up groups last, Dan?
Usually at least an hour.
Yeah, ours too. Okay, good. I'm so glad it's not out of the
it's
norm.
It's not just you.
Okay, good. Because we get on there and we talk about what we've done during the week, and then all of a sudden it's this tangent, that tangent, you know.
And then it's
hold
next
on
week.
To that idea. We'll talk about that after that, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I have a question for Mr. Chambers.
Yes, go ahead.
Have you done an audiobook yet?
No, I have not. Not through ACX or the traditional platforms. I'm actually doing a corporate narration right now for an international or a multinational real estate company.
Wow, how'd you land that one?
Actually, some friends of mine down in Belize own a large real estate corporation based there, and they also have properties in Europe. And so I've done some work for them in the past. I recorded the first commercial for their company about 5 years ago, and the owner contacted me back in December and asked if I would do this corporate narration for all the realtors coming on board with their company, and I was like, sure, why not? So we worked out a price, and boom. Rest
wow, that's
history.
Great.
Cool. Scott, you were... Awesome. Scott, are you a recovering radio personality?
Yes, I am. How could you tell?
Because I hear it in your voice.
I know, yeah. Unfortunately, yes.
It takes a lot of coaching to deprogram that out of your voice. A lot.
You know, it really does. That's been one thing that's really hard for me. And since I do a lot of imaging for radio stations, I still have to, you know, people want that big, booming, but it's so hard to get out of that. But, you know, when I'm doing the narrations, I don't have any problem doing it. But, like, right now, addressing you guys, I subconsciously go back to it, you know?
Do you take your headphones off when you're doing those other kinds of work?
One-on, one-off.
Take your headphones off completely. Stop
working
on yourself. Because if you do that, I'm not a coach, but I've just heard this, you know, repeated by many other.
Yeah.
And from Dan and from others that say don't wear headphones. But if you're accustomed to hearing yourself in your headphones when you do radio, when you do imaging,
right,
then take your headphones off when you do other kinds of work. It'll completely change your environment.
Okay.
And it'll help you switch your... It might help you switch over. And while it'll be hard to get used to not wearing headphones because you're really used to hearing yourself, I think if you do that, it'll help you just switch your brain. Your brain will go, okay, I'm not doing radio. I'm not doing imaging. I'm doing something totally different now. And just take off your headphones. That might help. I don't know.
Great advice.
Really good
I appreciate
advice. Very good advice.
Yeah. I want to throw something by everybody because everybody was there was a lot of comments about this today. Let me see if I can get this up on the screen here. Screen share. Okay. Screen share. Turn off cameraman. Turn on screen share.
Here's some cool swag I got at the NAMM show. It's like a cable.
What'd you find there?
It's like a cable minder that you can wrap a whole bunch of cables inside it, and then it folds up and holds all your cables for you.
Wow.
Cool.
Have you ever seen one of those?
Yes. Anyway, well, I guess I'll have to do it physically here. All right. Let's see. Well, that's because I'm frozen here. All right. Well, how far behind am I here?
Oh, yeah. I see your video is way... Video is about 5 seconds behind your picture.
Oh, okay. Anyway, so I will count to five. One, two, three, four, five. Okay. What does everybody think of this thing? One, two, three, four, five, six. There we are.
There it is.
Whoa.
It just caught up, I think.
I did? No, it didn't. Now it's behind again. There we go.
Instagram.
Ooh.
What did people think of this one?
I think it's pretty cool.
It reminds me of cough drops.
It's the Smith Brothers.
Yes. Gotcha.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of cool. I saw that. Yeah.
Maybe we can have a Teespring or make a limited run edition of some shirts with those on it.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, of course, you look more like Anthony Gettig there, George. But
I got
confused. Yeah, some people were thinking that was our new logo. And I'm like, well, aside from some trademark issues we might have with that.
Yeah. Let's put it this way. If we had trademark issues, that's a good sign. That means people actually give a crap about the show.
That's true.
That's the way I look at it. Somebody actually says, hey, you can't do that. Oh, you're watching us? Oh, okay. That's good. Hmm.
Hey, you were on Al Jazeera.
What about?
Just saying.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And we know that they are doing the Smith Brothers. We will get them for this.
Please. Alrighty then.
Anyway, so, no, I'm having a lot. Everyone's wondering, who did that? Well, I did this. I'm using Keynote and Alpha and stuff like that, and it's easy to do that with that. And, so if anybody's wondering, but we did have one winner. Well, there were a couple of winners for our logo contest, and we're still trying to figure out how to incorporate the whole thing. I think I have an idea how we can incorporate it, George.
Okay.
You know, we'll talk about it this week.
Or next week.
Or next week. Yes.
Back in LA and back
when you get back home. Yeah. Any interesting home visits while you were in New York?
Let's see. Tomorrow, I'm driving up to see. I'm going to drive up to see Jake Robards.
Jason Robards, isn't he dead? No, Jake Robards.
His son.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And wow. he bought a house up there and renovated the house and put in a studio, and I helped consult on it last year. And so now it's my turn to go up there and plug in all the stuff. Plug in the mixer to the Zephyr and plug in the iTrack Solo to the, you know, basically plug everything in and make it work. So that's what I'll be doing tomorrow.
Oh, cool.
And that's up in Greenwich, Connecticut. So that's a train ride and then a train ride. It's like a train ride and a bus ride. So I think he's going to pick me up at the train station. So because it's out in the country.
Have fun because you are going to freeze your tuchus off tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
You don't know what... Well, you grew up in Philadelphia, but you don't know what cold is if you've been out to California all this time.
Yeah, I mean, I spent New Year's Eve in New York two winters ago.
Yeah.
And it was very mild until New Year's Day and the day after, and my daughter just started crying, bawling, because like some wind hit her, you know, while she was walking. And she just didn't even know... I don't even think she knew what it was. I think it literally scared her. The blast of cold air that takes your breath away. And she just started bawling, you know, like she had no clue. I mean, my kid runs outside excited when there's rain. We had 3 inches of rain last year. 3 inches of rain. I mean, the Mojave Desert gets 3 inches of rain.
Mm. Yes.
And this year we're supposed to have even less. It's the driest winter we've had since the 1800s.
Wow.
So it's really bad.
Do I need to bring some water with me out in August so I can like share it with the rest of California?
I'd say when I go outside and somebody's watering the street, you know, spraying the sidewalk or washing their car in the street, I'm like, dude, are you paying attention to the news? Stop. God. You know, our water in Southern California is borrowed, quote unquote.
Yeah, because Northern California, they get upset about it too.
Our water comes
You're taking our water. California.
Yeah, it's all piped down.
And you guys don't have any water either.
Yeah, we don't have any to give. It's dry.
It's pretty wild. It's pretty wild. Yeah.
Yeah. I keep hoping that, you know, water will now become more valuable than oil, and I'm sitting on the largest freshwater supply in the world.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah.
Although it was so cold yesterday morning, I got up about...
How cold was it?
It was so cold. Yeah, I got up about 3:30 in the morning for what people my age do at 3:30 in the morning. And, you know, and I turn on the faucet in my bathroom, and I'm hearing...
Like, oh crap! I figure my pipes have frozen.
Oh jeez!
So I go into another bathroom. No, if the pipes were frozen, you would hear nothing.
Right.
So I'm thinking, okay, there's no water getting into the house. A water main must have broke. So I figured, you know, the Erie County Water Authority will come. They'll find there was an eruption about 3 years ago where this water main burst across the street. And sure enough, it was the exact same spot. And they're digging up there the next morning. And all of a sudden, you know, my son and I are sitting in the kitchen, and I had left all the taps open. So when it opens up, we know. All of a sudden, we hear. And all the faucets come back on.
And when they do, it's always the nasty brown water that spurts out of the
faucet.
Oh,
yes.
Oh. No, this was just. And then it came out. But
remember in the movie The Money Pit with Tom Hanks?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
faucet's like. Shooting out brown sludge. It's so disgusting.
Yeah.
The house I'm staying in now, the apartment I'm staying in, he was showing me how to use the water in the tub. He's like, turn it until just to the point where the pipe starts going cluck, 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 like that. And sure enough, I turn on the water, I wait for the hot water, and the whole, the faucet, everything's going cluck, 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 like that in the wall.
That's New York.
Oh, man.
Some quality plumbing job there.
Oh, my God. She cracks me up, man.
Yeah. You know, when I was in Vegas last week, and I'm, you know, there's, you fly over Lake Mead, and you see that it's going very slowly. And you see 2 million people. How do they have enough water? And where? How do they deal with all the sewage there? I mean,
yeah,
that's a weird one.
That is weird. Well, there was an interesting story about what they do with the garbage. There was an interesting story on This American Life or something about what they do with New York City's sewage.
They send it to...
Well, they used to put it on a train and send it to Colorado.
Right.
On a train?
They'd put it on a train and take it to Colorado and fertilize people's fields in Colorado with New York City sewage. And then they stopped doing it last year because it became just marginally more expensive than doing something, you know, far worse. Yeah, so they stopped doing it. I thought that was interesting.
Hmm. Well, it's 10:02 here in the east. If you're still probably on West Coast time though.
7:02 on the west.
I'm actually trying to grab some videos from the NAMM show. I figured I might share one or two with you guys if you're interested.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Because we're certainly not very interesting tonight.
While you guys are doing that, I just want to say thank you for answering my questions on the Facebook page today about speakers. The equators were awesome, George.
Oh, you were the one asking that question. Right. Yes. Yeah, well, I was going to share that little video from that guy. The guy that runs that company was awesome. That is one of the fun things about these trade shows is a lot of times when you go to these small booths, the small manufacturers, not Sennheiser and stuff, although Sennheiser was awesome. But, you know, when you go to a booth from the Equator Monitor Company, you're talking to the guy or the woman that designed that product, you know, it's her company or his company. They're the ones that did it, you know. And that's really cool, you know. So when you're talking to them, it's not just a rep who has a very, very well-rehearsed pitch. You're talking to a guy who's just really passionate about his product and just wants you to know how freaking cool it is.
Yeah, I actually called the company. I called the company this afternoon, and I was transferred to his voicemail. I was trying to get customer service, and I'm like, wow. I was kind of impressed by that.
Well, you're not likely going to get a hold of him because the guy's been at NAMM show for 5-6 days.
Yeah, so I wasn't able to.
Transit or extremely exhausted.
Right.
Give him a day or two. Well, actually, that guy is in Southern California, so he didn't have far to go, but he's probably just plain exhausted.
Yeah, they're amazing speakers for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you know, every year you go to an NAMM show, you see 10 or you'd see 50 new pairs of headphones and at least 10 new pairs of monitors. And the studio monitors are often very expensive or just mediocre. And actually, there were two pairs that were interesting, the Equator D5s, and those that don't know what we're talking about, these are studio monitors that are what they call coaxial. So, you know, the speakers in your car, sometimes if you have a better car, you'll have a you'll have a tweeter in the middle and then the speaker on the outside. So there'll be a woofer and a tweeter, and there the tweeter's inside the woofer. Right. With coaxials, the tweeter is actually inside the center of the cone of the woofer. You remember how when
like
your
in cars.
How your kid's sister or brother would push on the dust cap on the woofer and it would get wrinkled and be like, ah, you know? You remember that? That used to happen to me. Anyway, where that dust cap usually is, they embed the tweeter inside that space. And that technology to do that used to be really expensive. Tannoy from England was like the big company that started that trend back in the 70s. And anyway, it used to be really, really expensive. So this guy, he invented or developed his own monitors. They were like $3,000 each. And I remember seeing them at AES and other shows and going, those are killer, but they're mega expensive. Well, I think it's really cool. He could have just gone on and kept selling these really expensive monitors and keeping that niche, but instead he decided to branch out into like the home studio market. He took the same engineering technology and just made it cheaper and then had them made in China and saved a huge amount of money. And now you can buy a pair of these speakers, little 5-inch speakers, for $400, which is, for something that's really pro quality, is really, really, really fair. And what makes them unique is every single pair of speakers is digitally tuned at the factory to be exactly the same response. Hmm. So they're always exactly the same. And I don't know, I thought it was really fascinating. And just the passion, the way the guy spoke about it, just the excitement of it and all, it was just really cool. You guys can check out any of these videos. I have posted them on YouTube. They're on the Edge Studio YouTube account.
Yeah.
So just look for Widom's World. You'll find them.
Yeah. Speaking of short videos, this is a new thing we're going to try. We're still trying to figure out what we're going to call them. Give you some shorter little bits of eWebs every week where you can listen to something that's going to be 3-4 minutes long, and then you can go on with the rest of your life as opposed to, you know, frying your entire Monday evening.
Right.
But even though we love having you here every Monday evening at 9 o'clock in the East and 6 o'clock in the West. But we're not sure what we're going to call them, but we've got a bunch of things that we're going to, you know, be offering on YouTube, and we will let everybody know that, hey, here's this week's eWebs bit or bite.
Yeah, what should we call them? We were asking everybody.
We should have a contest.
Yeah, let's have another contest like we did with the logo and with the...
Because contests are fun.
Yes,
everybody loves a contest, especially if they get a clicker as a prize.
Got to get the clicker.
In order to have a contest, you have to have a prize that somebody actually wants.
Yes, we'll have two clickers. That'll be the prize.
Two clickers.
Yes.
All or nine.
Click, click, click.
Like maracas.
Yes.
You'll be able to hold your clickers over here and go.
Like a garage.
That's
I'm
right.
Gonna leave, I'm going to leave one of these in every booth at the Edge Studio and see how long they keep.
I got my clicker.
You certainly do.
I didn't get.
How many of these do we have left, Dan? I have like six.
Here, let me count here. We've got.
I'm leaving them all here at Edge. So.
Oh, you're leaving them all there at Edge.
I have six.
Let's see. I've got 1, 2, 3.
He's got a box full of them.
We got plenty.
All right.
Go so get them. We got them. We actually got a couple orders tonight.
All right.
So now I just got to mail them out. And I know some other people have ordered some. I've not gotten around to mailing them out, but I will do that this week. I will venture out in my mucklucks and my dog team and head over to the post office and get those out tomorrow.
Mush!
All right. Catherine,
brilliant.
Catherine Curran thinks eWebs Diagnostics is a good name for the
eWebs Diagnostics.
Bill Lord came up with that.
D-Box said eWeb bits.
eWeb bits. Yeah, because eWeb bytes would be just a totally different connotation.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
eWebbits. eWebbits.
EWebbits.
I'm hunting eWebbits, says Ed Waldorf.
I like it. eWebs. eWebs. Epiphanies.
All right, everybody send in their suggestions, all right?
There's a thread on the eWeb group. Go on the eWebs group and add your ideas to the thread on there.
Yes.
We'll send in your ideas. There. There's a clicker in it for you.
That's right, man.
You should make the prize like an hour's consultation.
And a clicker.
That's a good
You know,
that. Except the entire time I'm going to be doing this every time I make a mistake during the consultation.
Yes.
Bad voice talent. Bad.
Yes.
But yes, give us your ideas, and we'll start doing this soon. We also need help just actually doing them.
Yes.
Because it's a lot of work. We got to go through the show. We got to find good bits. Actually, one of Jack DeGaulia sent us a whole list of them.
Yeah, he did.
Which was awesome.
Yes, which we really appreciate.
Yeah, so we'll start clipping those out and
posting.
I'd love to have something. I mean, we have enough content to do one a day for a whole year.
Probably longer. We've got 128 episodes. I mean, and there were some great tidbits from some of our guests over the years. And, we can use any one of those. So think about your favorite moments from eWebs beyond just what we did for our, our end of the year show. But, great little tidbits that you've learned from the show, and we'll make it a feature.
Maybe we'll put this tip brought to you by or found or dug up by, and then give a plug to whoever.
Right, exactly.
And then your name will be in the video. Yeah. I don't know. Is that worth anything?
I don't know.
It's worth a clicker.
Yes. Anyway, I have been told that coming up next week, we have Mike Pongratz will be joining us from Canada.
From Canada.
Yeah. Do you guys know who Mike Pongratz is?
Yes, he's one of the three Amiibos.
That's right. Oh,
right, uh-huh.
Yeah. They have a great little podcast going, or vodcast, as they call it.
Yes.
You guys should check it out.
No, yeah, we should check it out.
Yeah, I will watch it. It's just not live.
Right.
Yeah, we're one of the very, very few that do this totally live. That is for sure.
You guys are risk takers.
Yeah, that we are.
Yes, every time we turn this thing on, we take a risk.
That's right. We put our careers at risk every time we turn it on.
Pretty much. Pretty much. But no, he's going to join us. He's a funny guy. We'll have a lot of fun with him. I understand that Mr. Gilbert will be joining us in a couple of weeks, so we'll get some actual Gilbertisms on the show.
In person.
And I think he'll... I don't know if he's...
like crazy to get on here today.
Yeah,
he's coming into L.A.
He's actually coming into L.A. to join us in George's actual, high-tech studio there.
Oh, that's right. On the 18th.
February 10th, he says.
Ah.
February 10th, yeah.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And then also on February 24th, we've got the lovely and talented Celia Siegel will be joining us, talking us about our careers and the things that we can do to make our voiceover careers better. And... Cool. If there's any guests you'd like to see on the show, let us know. We'll try and get them on. We've been trying to get Seth MacFarlane on, or my son's going to kill me one of these days.
Maybe I got to start asking Rachel. Hey, Rach.
Tom Kenny's been on the show. Yeah. Maybe he could be on,
Maybe she can get me his publicist's information or something.
There you go. And your publicist is going to go, who?
Who? You never
Maybe
know.
You can get him on and offer him a clicker.
Yeah.
And a mug.
And a mug. You're up in the ante. You're going to get some hot. Some
hyper-vodka. Yeah, I think Karen needs another clicker.
Mother? Really? Bad kitty, really get away from the booth.
That should scare a cat away, huh?
Yeah. Not or when make it's it lunchtime. Attack.
Yeah,
I'm really. Slave monkey. Go get me some food, slave monkey. Is what she says outside the booth every lunchtime.
Slave monkey. I'm waiting for my limited edition Leo Laporte bobblehead to arrive. Yeah. Maybe we should get bobbleheads made, Dan.
Maybe.
What do you think of that?
Yes.
Bobbleheads. Ooh. Yeah. That's an interesting idea. We got to get Leo Laporte on, actually.
Oh man, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
I know his announcer. Maybe he could put a word for us. Jim Cutler.
Yeah.
Is a client of mine. He does all of Leo's stuff. He just does it for fun. He doesn't even charge Leo. He just does it because he's a fan of the show.
Hmm. Wow.
So there you go.
Sort of like the people who watch our show.
Exactly. Yeah. It's viewer supported, man.
Yeah.
We love that you guys want to help us out and give us contribute to the show in the way you do. It's really it's really fantastic. It keeps the show ever getting better, I hope, and changing and evolving and keeps it fresh. And it allows us to keep bringing it out every week like we do and keep the iTunes, iPod stream coming along.
Absolutely.
And I do any of you guys ever listen to the iPod version? I mean, you guys are all watching it live, so you probably wouldn't listen to the iPod version. But
you should.
Yeah, if you're like me, if you do commute a lot, I mean, you guys mostly work from home, so you don't commute a lot. But if you do, it's really nice to be able to just listen to the show.
Yes. Well, all right, everybody, let's go around one more time here. Everybody has something to say. So why don't we start with you, the lovely Ann Richardson. You go first.
Wow. In closing?
In closing.
Wow. Happy voicing, everybody. I hope you all meet your goals for 2014. And just a big thanks to you, Dan, and you, George, because I really get a big kick out of your show. I've learned some really valuable tips from it. And please don't stop. And thank your spouses for us.
Will do.
Will do. I can't wait for mine to get back. She's been gone a week. Haven't seen her in like 8 days.
Wow.
And you're really hungry and you need laundry done, right?
No, I've been very good about that. I'm a keeper. Anyway. Jane Dixon!
Yes! Speaking of laundry, I did mine today.
All right. Good boy.
Yeah. You guys, I've been a fan for forever, so, I actually got an opportunity to meet George Whittam at an event here in L.A. once. It was great.
Anyway, we met a couple times over the years, yeah.
Yeah, we met a few times, yeah. Mm-hmm. Actually, I saw you at, what was the last time I saw you? The SAG event.
Yes, that's right.
You had your rig on that day. You're busy.
I don't know how to not be.
Yeah, that he had that rig on, and it was just amazing to see this big rig and this little tiny camera thingy.
And, it's amazing what you can do with those iPhones.
And this big mic thingy, and it was amazing.
That's basically what I was carrying around the NAMM show floor. Yeah.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah. I just love the show. Anytime I can get on Mondays, I listen. Even like if I miss, I'll go and listen to the podcast.
Oh, cool.
We appreciate you watching.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Greatly appreciate you joining us. Karen.
Yes. I just want to say you guys rock out loud. The things you guys do on the fly every single week is absolutely delightful, and it's just been such a learning experience for everyone. I recommend it to every voiceover newbie I see that I encounter. I say, you know, you want to learn something? Go and watch all of the EWABS archives, and you will know way more than you thought you would ever learn in a day and a half or however long it takes to get through there.
A week and a half.
That's right.
A month and a half, I think.
Even know which month.
It gets bigger and bigger every time. Right. But
and which rock to use.
Yeah.
Yes, and what clicker to use.
That's right.
Well, thanks. Thanks for spreading the word. We really appreciate it.
We really appreciate it.
We do want to grow the audience and make our sponsors happy. So let our sponsors know that you guys care and watch the shows so we can keep them.
Oh, yeah. You guys are the reason why I know so much about voiceover.
Thank you.
Thank you for doing the show. And I just want to ask, is there anything really cool and awesome that we're doing for the 150th episode?
We haven't gotten the committee together to start planning that yet. This is 129, is it not?
Mm. Yeah.
Although someone says we skipped one.
Did we really?
Yeah, someone said,
you did.
We missed one between 123 and 124. So I think that was your mistake, but
probably. Yeah. I lose track.
You know,
and there was the one that never got recorded from some snafu.
No, we actually recovered that one.
We did.
Oh. Yeah.
Some awesome fan recorded it. They had an audio recording of it, so we were able to recover it.
Yeah.
Nice. Yes.
Wow. Now that is devotion. They need one of these.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wrong way. There we go.
There you go. All right, good.
And one of those.
Yes. Scott!
I just want to say I've been watching you guys for about a year now, and I found you guys live for the very first time 2 weeks ago. And this is my third show to watch live, and it's a thrill to be here. And most importantly, I've got to thank Dan's mustache for being so awesome.
today is not one of its awesome days, by the way, but you're quite welcome.
You guys are awesome, though, seriously.
Thank you.
Thanks, man.
All righty. Well, I guess that's going to do it for us tonight. The fun just never ends.
Thank you for having us on. It was a lot of fun.
Yes.
It's great having
Thanks,
you
guys.
Well, anyway, all right, so join us next week. We'll be back next Monday night, 9 o'clock in the East.
And 6 o'clock in the West.
Yes, even though you're in the East. And we'll see you then. I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the East.
For a little bit anyway. And together we are East-West Audio Body Shop. See, the delay isn't quite as bad this way. Anyway, have a great week, everybody. Thanks, everybody. And we will see you next Monday night. Have a good one.
Bye now, everybody.
Toodaloo.
Sayonara.
Shineers.
Bye.
You know who I'm going to go see on...